My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating, and the video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. And let me see. Let me do that. Okay, there we go. All right. Looking for Joe Allen should be joining us here shortly. Got a great program lined up for you today. Bottom of hour number to Robert Spencer, author of Empire of God, How the Byzantines Saved Civilization. We'll talk about Hamas and their efforts to destroy our nation, to destroy Western culture as a whole. Let's see. Also joining us, John Moody, author of Just Another Country, a novel, the final episode of the We trilogy. And we'll talk about Xi Jinping and whether or not he is going to peacefully take Taiwan. I can't even, it's, you know, but that's their goal. That's what they're talking about. and let me see. Joe Brocato, Hit It Off, 21 Rules for Mastering the Art and Science of Relationships, will be with us as well today. So we'll have all that coming up for you. We welcome our audience on TECN-TV. Welcome our audience across all the social media platforms. Great to be with each of you. Our first guest is supposed to be Joe Allen, and hopefully we're going to get him on talking about transhumanism and the war on humanity. And it's interesting. So there's an article that I pulled up that I thought was rather interesting about Yuval Harari. Now, Yuval Harari has been a gigantic advocate of the whole AI thing. There's some things in this, and let me just go through this. So the article is entitled World Economic Forum, Yuval Harari's Blistering Warning to Davos. So he says, as we enter the third decade of the 21st century, humanity faces so many issues and questions that it's really hard to know what to focus on. So I'd like to use the next 20 minutes to help us focus on all the different issues. He claims there are three existential challenges: nuclear war, ecological collapse, and technological disruption. He talks about the promises of technology, but technology might also disrupt human society in the very meaning of human life in numerous ways, ranging from the creation of a global useless class to the rise of data colonialism and a digital dictatorship. It's interesting. He more or less tells us what the objective is going to be as it relates to this issue of transhumanism. And if you followed my program, you know that we've had on a number of times a good friend of mine who wrote the book, The Rise, Technocracy Rising. And there we go. Pull that up for you. Patrick Wood, he and his partner actually were the first ones to push on or address the issue of, hang on a minute, I got it, there we go. He and his friends were the first ones to talk about the Trilateral Commission and actually do, now I need you muted, sir, to do a deep dive of the Trilateral Commission in 1978. It's really interesting to note that here we have this threat of technocracy, and Patrick's been talking about this. The Trilateral Commission was associated with this. All of this ties together. Okay, then we will have 5 minutes. I guess Joe will be joining me, but he's going to be a little bit late. He was under the impression that this was a Friday hit. Okay, let me see. I need to put that in here. Okay. So here we go. We've got this technocratic class that believes that they can create a utopian world by using this. Now, I saw something over the weekend having to do with the inoculations, the shots, the vax. And essentially now the next step has to do with the introduction of mRNA technology into our food process. And if you have been to the grocery store, you may have noticed that on the label of certain products, there are, it basically says that this is an engineered product. What that means is that the food that you're consuming is not in any shape or form natural. It has been bioengineered. And in the process of that bioengineering, they are dropping these new technologies that are essentially changing you on the inside. That is the next phase, is the attack of the food supply and what they're doing to the food supply. Let's see. There is here's how you know to be mindful of this. Remember that they told us that there was no mRNA in the vax. And then they came out and admitted, well, yeah, there is. Remember that they told us that the vaccine was going to insulate you from the quote-unquote SARS or COVID virus. Now they've come out and said that the new variant of this virus, you are actually more susceptible to it if you have taken any of the injections. But they're working on trying to find an injection that's going to prevent that. We're watching as young people pass on. I have had Thomas Haviland on the program, and he has gone to embalmers all across the country, interviewing them on their findings. We've had guests on the program that have talked about the clotting and the issues of clotting and what this is all entailing, as well as Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and others. And Dr. Tenpenny is under huge attack because they don't want her telling the truth about what's going on. Dr. Judy Mikovits, who has been a regular guest of my program in the past. And again, here's someone who I was banned on YouTube, I was banned on LinkedIn, I was banned on Twitter, in part because of the programs that I did where I included her and interviewed her, and she shared the facts. My point is this. You have a number of, so Robert Malone has come out and addressed this issue. Peter McCullough has come out and addressed this issue. But you have a number of individuals who are talking about this situation. And now you have the fact checkers that are running around saying, oh, no, that's not true. There's no such thing as that. Well, it's really, you know, the proof is in the pudding, right? Because every time that they have told us, don't look here, don't focus here, don't pay attention here, this isn't real. Every time that they have done that, guess what? They ultimately then have to admit that what they have claimed to be false information or disinformation is in fact accurate information. Now, the headline where they say that it's accurate information is really tiny. But the reality is they do say that. Let me see. Let me pull this one up. Okay. So here we go again. Once again, they love to change their terminology and rewrite their risk assessment. COVID-19 vaccination rate is lower than we'd like to see. Vaccines protect against contracting and the spread. Well, the fact of the matter is that, again, they don't. Time magazine, vaccinated people are four times less likely to get long COVID, except that the studies that are coming out seem to indicate the opposite of that. Let me see. One of the cases specifically had to do with the issue of vitamin D3. Vitamin D3, by the way, is something that I am on. I take 10,000 IUs of vitamin D3 every single day. I have since I got sick with COVID in 2020, and it has prevented me. I haven't had any more issues since I had it, and I had a pretty severe case. All right, hey, I believe that Joe has joined us. Let me see if I can get him up onto the screen with us. Okay. There we go. Hey, Joe, welcome. Can you hear me? You need to unmute. Click the unmute button, and then you'll get me. There you go. Can you hear me now?
I think he dropped out. I'm only in your ear, by the way.
Yeah, it looks like he accidentally left us.
It's okay.
So he'll be back.
He'll be back.
Okay. All right. So, one of the stories is out there. Buck Sexton has a story out. The New York Times admits the CDC lied and withheld COVID data. And you know, we know from the VAERS, and I reported on VAERS repeatedly. Okay, here we go.
I'm going to put them in a dynamic real quick with you.
All right.
There you go. We're taking you 3, 2, 1. Joe, you're on.
Okay. Hey, Joe, welcome. You're muted. Why is he muted?
He isn't muted.
I do not. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. There we go. Let's do that. Welcome, Joe. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Outstanding. Thanks for being with me. I greatly appreciate it. Sorry, there appeared to be some confusion on your appearance today.
No problem. Here I am.
There you go. Well, hey, let's jump right into this. Yuval Harari is probably at the head of the list when it comes to pushing the transhumanism. We're talking about transhumanism, but talk to me about how your book Transhumanism and the War Against Humanity. I was just talking about the mRNA, the attack on our DNA, and really now how they're moving that into our food supply. And I was telling my audience, one of the first ways that you know they're actually doing it is when the fact checkers start coming out and telling you that they're not.
Yeah, that's usually a pretty good indicator that you're onto something if the fact checkers come after you, at least if they're from Reuters or PolitiFact. Yeah, you know, in the book, I deal with Yuval Harari, but my take is a bit different. I think that all the focus on Yuval Harari and the World Economic Forum, at least in regard to technology, is misplaced. It's not that they're not extremely important. They are. But it would be really unfortunate if people thought that somehow Yuval Harari was responsible for basically any technology. He's just a historian. The most he does is talk about it, unless his investments indicate he's making some money off of it. No, the real important characters in this this grim drama are those in Silicon Valley. So Larry Page, Sergey Brin, a few here in Texas, such as Elon Musk. And I think that maybe most importantly, at least in regard to the mRNA jabs, you've got the entire biomedical establishment, but then you've got, you know, people funding it, such as Bill Gates. You've got, you know, the CDC, the NIH, so on and so forth. Those are the really important figures, the engines that are driving this, Moderna, Pfizer. So, you know, Harari, by and large, is simply talking about these technologies and talking about the downsides of these technologies. You know, if you listen beyond the sound bites, you find a fairly deep thinker who is quite concerned about these technologies. On the other hand, you've got Elon Musk, who feigns concern, or at least perhaps he is actually concerned, but he's pushing it all ahead anyway. So that's my take on it. I don't really see the World Economic Forum as being anything more than an ideological hub, whereas the real engines driving this civilizational transformation are coming out of Silicon Valley, out of the military-industrial complex, and of course the biomedical establishment.
How accurate do you think Patrick Wood has been with his book Technocracy Rising and predicting a lot of this? Have you read that book?
Oh, yes. I'll be visiting Patrick in the coming days, actually. Yeah, I think he was spot on. And maybe the most important thing I got from the book was the sense of history. You know, he really digs into the origins of the technocracy movement. And I had not realized how fleshed out the culture of the technocrat really has been. I mean, it's almost a century now. So, you know, in later research, I suppose it wouldn't have surprised me. But yeah, Patrick Wood is a saint among men. Absolutely.
Well, Patrick's a dear friend. He was one of the first ones that exposed the Trilateral Commission. He and his partner back in the 1970s, when nobody else wanted to talk about it, he did a huge 2-part book series on it that was just, I mean, it's like an encyclopedia. But a lot of this really started with his research relative to that. What are some of the new things that you have found as you are presenting this essentially to the next generation?
Well, right now, the big thing is artificial intelligence. A lot of it is smoke and mirrors. A lot of it is overhype. But again, it would be a mistake to focus on those elements that are overhyped at the expense of looking at the actual technology that is functional and is undoubtedly going to transform the way that people learn, that children learn, the way that people do their financial transactions. It's going to alter the entire media landscape. It's already beginning to do so. So, you know, really, one of the things that I've been focusing on for the last 6 months, almost a year, has been this push to develop artificial godlike intelligence, the AGI, the artificial general intelligence, and maybe the fervor that the public has both embraced it and is also they're terrified by it. Both of those are profoundly negative developments because it doesn't allow for a real critical view of what's happening. If the public, you know, for that portion of the public who sees AI is a miraculous way of eliminating work from their lives, of a miraculous way of generating new ideas, so on and so forth. I mean, they're, you know, it's the same sort of tech intoxication that led up to everyone having smartphones and almost purely digital currency that we have, at least functionally now. On the other hand, though, the the voices who are talking about artificial intelligence killing everybody, it's not that I don't follow their logic. Their logic makes sense from the premises they begin from. But the more people are focused on, is AI going to kill everybody? And it doesn't, right? Like, if everybody freaks out once every 3 or 4 weeks saying, oh my God, this new development means we're all going to die, and then nobody dies, then it really serves to distract from the actual process that's taking place. And the actual process, and this is something I cover a lot, the intention of not only the kind of Silicon Valley gray tribe, but also a lot of the more experimental branches of our military, such as DARPA, the intention is to fuse human beings with artificial intelligence, to turn us into human AI symbiotes. I think we already are algorithmic symbiotes now. We basically function as if, we were sort of like the bacteria basically partnering with the fungi in lichen, right? Like, we are, in essence, inextricably linked to our technologies. And as AI becomes more and more advanced, as it actually is able to take up some of the normal cognitive processes that human beings have, it's going to be, in my view, more and more deformed. What we'll get is something like the couch potato, some blend of the couch potato and the smartphone junkie, but maybe with more advanced means of connecting the human mind to these technologies.
Well, there's several things that I think about, right? You know, one of the things that I think about is, I don't know if you would even have looked at this or remember this, but Max Headroom.
Yes.
You know,
I'm old enough to remember Max.
Yeah, I mean, there's you know, a lot of similarities between this and the idea of Max Headroom, in the sense that they've created AI that pretends to actually be human. And they're working on technologies that will fool you. You're not going to know the difference between whether you're talking to a real person or whether you're talking to an AI.
Yeah, and we were almost there now. In fact, it's quite possible that a lot of people are speaking with language models when they think they're speaking to humans. It's possible that I am. If it's good enough, you're not going to know, right? The ironic thing is that one of the surefire ways to tell whether it's a deepfake video or photograph is using artificial intelligence to detect it. So, I think that as it moves along,
right?
I don't know what the timeline is, but I would say if I had to guess, within the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to see some pretty profound deepfake scams, in which the public believes what they're looking at is real, and it turns out not to be, but it's kind of too late. It could be anything. It could be a celebrity who's saying a racial slur. It could be some sort of sex tape that's not actually the person involved. Or it could be something more dramatic. It could be a deep fake video of a world leader that leads to an actual international crisis or conflict. I would have already thought that something like that I figured we would already see it by now. It hasn't happened, so I'm questioning my ability to predict these things. But the technology is there. It's yeah. It's quite sophisticated. The best deepfake software is almost indistinguishable. The image that's generated is almost indistinguishable from a normal video or a normal photograph. So why it's not been used yet, perhaps... perhaps they're saving the best for the 2024 election. I don't know. We'll see.
It's a scary reality that we do need. I mean, there is some scariness to this in recognizing the potential dangers that are associated with it. Just like anything, you know, there's a good and there's an evil that's associated. And if the wrong people get a hold of it and start using it in the wrong way, it can be quite detrimental. On the other hand, it can also be something that can be very beneficial. They use the laser technology in surgeries, and there are things that they can do now in a surgery using that kind of technology that they could never do before. So there's technological advances, but I think the biggest issue for me is when man starts thinking that he's God. And you know, starts beginning to act as though his actions are somehow omniscient, and man does not have that kind of capability. Joe, thank you for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it. Give us the name of the book and the best place to buy it.
Yeah, the book is Dark Eon. That's A-E-O-N, Transhumanism and the War Against Humanity. If you are adventurous and you've got some Bitcoin, go to canonic.xyz, canonic.xyz. If not, you can get it at the publisher's website, skyhorsepublishing.com. You can get it at bookshop.org. Or if you are acculturated to the great beast, Amazon, you can get it at Amazon, and do leave a rating. The Amazon beast loves ratings. So, yes, thank you very much, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I appreciate you being with me today. Thank you, Joe, so much. Joe Allen, Dark Eon, Transhumanism and the War Against Humanity. Pick it up today. We'll be back with more coming up right after this. Joe Brocato joins me on the other side of this break. Back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up.
So up next, we have Clanslight. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are all related,
my passion is the fight for freedom.
It can really
my
help with inflammation because you're helping defending clean our country.
Today, we are no longer fighting with guns.
From a natural
instead, we are fighting
acid
an ideological battle for control of our country.
That's naturally occurring. That uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
six, five, four, three, two.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And welcome back. Great to be with you. Thank you for being here today. I know you have a choice in where you can listen. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a forewarning. I am going to be taking some time off. Normally in December, I take usually the last 2 weeks to just kind of try to rest and recharge. The Holy Spirit really has put it on me that I need to take the entire month. So I am going to be broadcasting all week. And then I will not be doing live programming for the remainder of December. And we'll be coming back stronger than ever in January of 2024. I'm going to be doing some probably offline ministry with our India ministry. I need to let you know that our economy the week before Thanksgiving took a major hit. I'm talking about the ministry's economy, and so I am in really significant need of support for our India ministry, like incredibly critically big need of support for our ministry in India. We lost a major piece of our support system. They've changed their structure, their leadership, their board, what have you. And we were cut out. So I have to start all over with that process. And your assistance is desperately needed. And I'll be talking more about that as we go. Hey, very pleased to welcome to the program Joe Brocato. Joe, welcome. Good to be with you.
It's great to be back, Pastor Rick. How are you?
For a guy that got in a fight with a truck and won, I'm continuing to do pretty good, man. I just keep fighting on.
Awesome.
Yes, sir. Well, there's a lot going on right now that needs our attention, right? I think we lost him again. Oh, there we go. All right. There we go. All right. Are you with me?
I am here.
Okay, fantastic. 21 rules for mastering the art and science of relationships in life and business. When I take a step back look at what's happening in our world today, the divisions, the divisiveness, the DEI, the ESG, the everything that is attempting to try to, I think from an authoritarian oppressive perspective, control us, man making an effort to try to control the nature of man. Would you suggest that is kind of what we're seeing happen here?
Well, the divisiveness that you mentioned is clearly a problem in our world. We've seen it grow. It's always been with this world, but we've seen it grow. There are forces at play that tend to utilize whatever tools are available, technology, warfare, etc., to advance agendas that are inconsistent with harmony in human nature. And I'm a big believer that we don't have necessarily the right leaders in the world to effectuate a civility that we all crave. And so my book, Hit It Off, 21 Rules for Mastering the Art and Science of Relationships in Life and Business, is really an attempt to provide a toolbox, a rule book, if you will, that will allow all of us to harness around some science-backed strategies to help us restore civility to our personal lives, to our workplaces, to politics, and hopefully the world.
Talk to me about some of the, I don't know if you want to call them faux pas, but maybe that's a good term, but some of the things that you witness leadership doing, quote-unquote leadership doing, that is instigating a greater degree of division?
Well, if you're talking about political leaders, and sometimes this bleeds into business leadership, human beings are wrought with human frailties, pride, greed, a lust for power. These are revenge. These are traits, dark traits in human nature that can overpower all of us, frankly, from time to time. And so it's very important to have good leadership to provide a different pathway to living life. And so right now we don't have a rule book to interact with each other. It's kind of a free-for-all, and it has been for a long, long time. And I think as our society continues to become destabilized in many ways, forces that want to perpetuate incivility are going to have a much cleaner runway to pursue that. So I think that we need a rule book. We need some sort of cohesion around how we're going to interact with each other. So I think, you know, one of the biggest problems that I see right now with our, just say, our political leaders is they aren't being held to a standard that I would like to see, and that is a standard of critical thinking. The electorate, we are very busy. We're trying to make a living. We are trying to raise families, pay our bills, et cetera, get by. People have health issues, et cetera. So it's very important that we don't lose sight that we have to hold our politicians to a higher standard. And what I mean by that is three basic things. One is effective communication. We have to make sure that our leaders have a skill to effectively communicate with the electorate, with their colleagues, with other leaders, et cetera. Second point of critical thinking, very, very important, is their ability to carefully assess information. When they receive information, they have to know how to assess it properly. Are they consulting the right experts? Are they admitting when they don't really understand what they're talking about? Are they just hanging their head on opinions or kind of party lines? They have to very carefully assess information. And third, they have to approach very important political decisions from a position of objectivity, leaving their predetermined judgments and biases at the door, because that's the only way they'll be able to assess this information and come out with a solution that is hopefully the best for their electorate, for the people. And I don't think that a lot of politicians are doing this right now. So I really do believe that if we started there and started to evaluate whether or not our leaders, and frankly leaders around the world, are really leading their people and fulfilling their campaign promises from the position of critical thinking. And tied to that is this concept of mindfulness. Are they being mindful of what is going on? Are they recognizing the moment and understanding that the moment is very, very important? It could be understanding emotional intelligence when they're talking to another leader, or they're trying to effectuate a compromise to pass legislation. Some people have very low emotional intelligence, and that causes them to really miss the mark when it comes to recognizing an opportunity to compromise. So there's a lot that we can do to really harness, I think, the leadership that will provide a good example for all of us.
Joe, there's a couple of things that pop out. So give me those three things again really quick, and then I want to ask you some questions. Just give me the heading for those three items.
Effective communication.
Right.
Careful assessment of information. and objectivity.
Okay. Now, question for you. Because somewhere in there you were talking about, as a critical thinking, they're kind of the baseline, if you will. Is there such a thing as absolute truth? And what role does that play in coming together to have these kinds of conversations?
Well, I think if you're a God-fearing person and believe in a God, only God really has an absolute reign on truth. I think otherwise, in a free democracy that we have in this country, or we're supposed to have, we as a people need to use the democratic system to decide what our non-negotiables, what our truths are. And it starts with what we believe in our hearts and how we express that very effectively, hopefully using critical thinking to influence each other to come out to a resolution that we believe is in the best interest for all of us.
So it seems as though the greatest friction that we seem to have right now really is an ideological friction.
It is, and here's the thing. So I'm a lawyer, right? I've been practicing law now for more than three decades. Do deals. I don't go to court. I'm working on corporate, commercial real estate transactions, et cetera. And in every deal, there are differences. Call them ideological differences about the nature of the transaction. But if you think about it, no deal gets done unless there's a compromise. So it's really up to the lawyers and the business people, their teams, to, I would argue, use critical thinking to work their way through the deal. So those ideological, we'll call them ideological differences because you use that phrase, could be just business differences, different viewpoints about the deal. They have to recognize their true interests to come together so they can compromise to close a deal. Not all deals close. That's the hard truth. Mm-hmm. So the reality of the world, sometimes it's the harsh reality, is sometimes deals don't get done. It could be a deal in business. It could be a personal relationship. It could be two countries who are, frankly, at war. So my book and, certainly this whole way of thinking is not intended to be a panacea to cure all the ills for everybody in the world. However, it's to help us maximize the likelihood of getting to a compromise so we can actually effectuate a better world and hopefully all achieve our rational self-interest in all of our relationships.
When we're talking about, for example, you're talking about exchanging abstracts to a degree, right? The sale of a building, the sale of a business, those kinds of things. And certainly you've got to, figure out a mutually beneficial exchange for the values that are involved and what those people believe is reasonable on both sides. And certainly we know that sometimes those things don't come to fruition. But when it comes to some of the issues that we're facing today, especially relative, for example, parents are concerned about what's happening to their children. They're concerned about their role in school and their role in, I liken this when I took a little break last week for Thanksgiving, but before I went on the break, I was talking about how you had, a generation that was raised to believe that parents were ignorant. They didn't know any facts. They didn't have the truth. Kids were smarter than their parents, right? You saw a lot of Disney movies that projected that. I mean, it was a big cultural phenomenon. And part of that was to get the kids to shift away from mom and dad and depend on teachers and other figures in their lives to tell them what was right and what was wrong and essentially break up the family. Now that generation has grown up and now they have kids. And now they tried to tell their kids that their parents are dumb just like the previous generation, except that those guys all of a sudden have woken up and said, wait a minute, that's what you said about my mom and dad. That's not me. Stop. You can't play that same game with my kid that you played on me with my parents because number one, I'm not my parents. But number two, I've figured out in the last 15, 20 years that mom and dad were damn smart. And I'm listening to what they're telling me, and they're right, and you're full of crap. Sorry, but I mean, that's the truth. So the point of this is that is an ideal, that's a base foundation, right? I see you're wearing a cross, which is awesome to me. I mean, that's an indication that you're a man of faith and that is something that is significant to you. As a country, that used to be the fallback. We could all agree on faith, and then from there we had certain things that we thought were more important. You know, that's how we ended up with all these denominations. How do we get back? Because don't you, I mean, even in your business situations, you have to bring them to the place of saying, okay, look, here's the goal. Now let's work backwards. We each have our things that we want out of this, but at the end of the day, we agree that we would like X to be this. How do we? Cause we don't have X anymore. X is, I don't even know what it is anymore.
Well, listen, I'm not here to give all answers to all people.
Oh, come on, Joe.
That's gonna cost you.
I love it.
My invoice is in the mail.
Okay. Well, I'm giving you the platform, so we'll exchange bills.
Okay, great. So I think there's one way to look at this, which is fairly simple. It's Herculean to get done, potentially, but it's a potential stable datum to work from.
Okay.
And there's a rule in my book about, if you disagree, find common ground. And basically, there is this concept that, you know, if we are disagreeing, so we have differences in our country, we have differences from generation to generation, and we all are different, and we disagree. And frankly, that's okay. On its face, that's okay. How do we deal with disagreement is the issue. And in the book, I outlined some ways, some strategies to pivot conversations, to focus on, frankly, common ground. And these are essentially non-negotiables. These are governing values that we all agree upon to govern our affairs, to get us to a compromise so we can both achieve our goals. So take the United States. You know, we are not a country that defines itself necessarily around culture, race, religion, language, etc. We are a country that's based on a constitution and Declaration of Independence. We're a constitutionally based country that, you know, looks at things like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are basic fundamental. This is the glue for the country. And if we all remember that and really kind of measure our actions against those things that are governing values, non-negotiables for our country. We're in a country that has non-negotiables, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And in many cases, that then gets down to this concept of respect, which is another rule in my book. And when you respect someone, you recognize that people may have differences of opinions, and you cannot necessarily demonize someone for disagreeing with you. You have to realize they're a human being. They may have differences of opinion based on all the different factors I mentioned earlier that may be different among us. But that really cannot drive public discourse. It just can't. You have to rally around governing values. And because that's the way we can do this in a very civilized way, we can use our political institutions, our public forums, whether now social media, it could be public protesting, whatever the case might be, in a very civilized way to do what? To effectively communicate with each other, to carefully assess information while we maintain respect for people with our objectivity, and don't just come into a negotiation, if you will, with a predetermined judgment of how we want it to come out. We can all learn something. Every perfection has this way of room for improvement. And there's always this ability that we have as human beings to improve. We start thinking that we're God, and we start thinking that we're done, we know everything. That's where wars happen. That's where people die, and that's unfortunate. It's unnecessary. So we do have to rally around this concept of what are our governing values in this country? How do we have leaders that will promote the pursuit of those governing values, promote critical thinking, so we all can have a good example on how to communicate with each other?
One of the bedrocks of that constitution you speak of, and I look at our country not as a democracy but as a constitutional republic, and there is a difference, because a true democracy is simply kind of it's a mob rule concept, as opposed to a constitutional republic where an individual, as you're talking about, an individual's beliefs are respected and understood, and that's kind of what's spelled out in our Bill of Rights. But John Adams suggested that without morality, and he was referencing a biblical morality, without that kind of morality, without understanding where the determination of where life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness come from, our founders framed them as inalienable rights granted by God. I would proffer that right now we have certain individuals that believe that they are able to define what is life, what is life in the womb, what is the life of a child, who controls that life, who controls your liberty, your free speech, your ability to express yourself, and in what format, and then ultimately, who's controlling the definition of happiness? And I know we've only got a couple of minutes, but those seem like really big hurdles to try to overcome for us, unfortunately, at this time in our history.
Well, it's all about respect. It's all about utilizing our democratic process in the electorate to have leaders to effectively communicate with us as to the pros and cons of each issue, to help us carefully assess information. And we can't suffer from the illusion of explanatory depth. That's where we think we know more than we really do about a topic. We don't know enough about a topic, we should research it. But the point really is, we should all go into all of these discussions open-minded, really assess information carefully from a critical standpoint, and then vote. And we're in it, listen, democracies are, constitutional republics are imperfect bodies, perfect systems, but it's the best system that I know in Amen. The world. And so you have to really make sure that we have respect for each other so we can vote. And after the vote, live with the results, period. And that's the bottom line. And if we don't feel like certain viewpoints are being advocated properly and communicated to other people properly, then perhaps we have the wrong leaders.
Hit it off. 21 rules for mastering the art and science of relationships in life and business. Joe Brocato. Pick it up today. Hit it off. 21 rules for mastering the art and science of relationships in life and business. Joe Brocato. Joe, great to see you again.
It's great to see you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Hour number two is coming up. John Moody joins us to kick things off, followed by Robert Spencer. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break. At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem?
Well, thank you, Pastor.
How did you fight the good fight?
Hey, great to see you, man. Thanks for being with me.
How did you shine your light?